Union Sunday. So we're going to focus our thoughts, our attentions, our meditation primarily on the Lord. So if you will, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Concerning our Lord, we read these words. In the days of his flesh, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. We're commanded to observe the Lord's table in remembrance of our Lord. Memory is a wonderful gift from God. We have good memories, precious memories. And sad to say, we probably have memories that are not so good. But God has gifted us with a capacity of memory. We can recall people, incidents, times, places, events, things that we've read, things that we've studied. Just think. I remember when they first came out with computers. Yep, I can remember that. And one of the little problems and signals that we got on those early computers was this: out of memory. Out of memory. Which meant you didn't have enough built into your computer to handle that particular assignment or whatever it might be, out of memory. And we are all very familiar with friends, relatives, perhaps, that we've known over the years, who with age have begun to lose their memory. And that's always a very sad event, because it's taking something away. It's very precious to people. But what things do you remember? I'm not going to ask you to tell me right now, but think with me for a moment. I would be curious to know how many have seen the Niagara Falls. You have? Yeah, okay. What, do you remember that? Oh, of course you do. Why? Because it's unforgettable. The sheer force of that water coming over that waterfall. And you can walk behind part of it and take a boat and get up close to it. You'll never forget it. It's just ingrained in your memory. You can recall it just like that. I'll try one more event. How many have seen the Grand Canyon? Great. Wonderful. That's about 100%, I believe. But of course, we lived in Arizona for 16 years in Phoenix and working with young people through the church group. And sometimes there was a Christian camp up there in Flagstaff. And so we would take these kids up on a camping trip and then we would take them over to the Grand Canyon so they could, for the first time, see that. Wow, it just is incredible. I remember when I first walked up to the edge and looked at that expanse of openness, I thought, it just can't be true. I still remember that. Our Lord says, as often as you do this, what is this? This, the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, communion service. He says, as often as you do it. He didn't say how often we should do it. Some churches do it every Sunday. Some churches do it twice a month, three. We do it once a month. He didn't prescribe that it has to be this many times a week or month or whatever. As often as you do it, here's the stipulation. Do it in remembrance of me. And that's what we're here for. And that's what we plan to do. But to help us, I'm going to spend the next few moments going over some things that we can remember. What did our text say? Hebrews 5:7. In the days of his flesh. That's the Lord's flesh. When he was here in the human body. What did he do? He offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Now let's take those words, the flesh, in the days of his flesh. The word flesh can be taken in two different ways. It can be taken in the natural realm as referring to our entire human nature. You don't need to turn there, just listen. John 1:4, and the Word, that is Christ, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we understand that in the sense in which we are speaking of Christ being in the flesh, Christ still continues in the flesh. That's an amazing thing, but it's true. The body in which he suffered and rose from the dead was altered upon his resurrection and ascension as to its qualities, but not to its substance. It still consists of flesh and bones. How do we know that? Well, after the resurrection, what did Christ say? See my hands? My feet? That it is I myself? Touch me, and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. That was a post-resurrection appearance. The use of the phrase in the scriptures is not the meaning of the word found in our text. For the days of his flesh, in the sense in which we are considering, continues, not limited to the 33 years, but continues today, even at the right hand of the Father. The word flesh has different meanings. The word flesh, as applied to Christ in our text that we just read, has to do with the frailties or the weaknesses are the infirmities of our nature. And it is in reference to human nature, not yet glorified with all of its infirmities, to which our Lord was exposed. Our Lord experienced hunger. He experienced thirst. He experienced weariness. He worked. He labored. He experienced sorrow and grief and fear and pain wounding and death. That's in reference to our Lord's human nature. Those are the things that our Lord experienced. From the cradle to the grave, he bore all the infirmities of our nature with all of its painful and grievous effects. Now turn with me to Isaiah 53:3. This is a prophecy concerning our Lord. Concerning our Lord, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Our text that I read earlier has to do primarily with his suffering, his own suffering, him and offering himself up as a sacrifice for sins. And we see that at the time he offered up himself, he was in fact encompassed with infirmities, which had special relevance to his suffering. He was an offering, and he himself offered both prayers and supplications, crying with loud tears. There's another dimension which I want us to consider, and this would take much longer than we have, but let me just mention it for purposes of our Lord's table today. What I want you to think about as we come to the table is, I'm going to put it in these words, the magnitude of the work of the expiation of sin. Those are big words. Let me reword it. The work of offering himself up as a sacrifice for sin involved infinite suffering. And we need to be mindful of that. Our Lord suffered. And as we come to the table and as we partake of the elements, let's keep in our mind the suffering of our Lord. The bread represents his broken body. The cup represents his shed blood. It's to help us visibly sense that and bring it to memory, lest we forget. Because it's possible to forget certain things if we don't on purpose call them to memory. And that's what this is all about. It's to help us to refocus, get our mind off of the world and our cares and concerns, and put our mind on the Lord. But what aspect of the Lord? His pain, agony, and suffering. Here is the eternal Son of God offering up himself as a sacrifice for the sins of those whom he came to save. And what does he do in the process? What does it tell us? He offers both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears. When's the last time you thought about that? When? Was it last month when we had the Lord's table? And you haven't really thought of it that much the past month? That's why we have the Lord's table. As often as you do this, remember me. And particularly, what are we going to remember? Well, there's lots to remember about our Lord. Think of his... I sometimes like to let my imagination go and think of him as a child running around their dwelling, or as a young man helping his dad there with the carpentry work, or preaching to the multitudes and feeding the 5,000, raising Lazarus from the dead. Many, many wonderful passages of Scripture that tell us of the life and events of our Lord. We do well to know them, to remember them. But what is all this about here today? His death. His death. In order to save us from our sin. And this ought to be the time when we refresh that in our mind, our heart, as we come to the elements. And at the same time, to say, Lord, thank you for dying in my place. Was it for crimes that I have done? He suffered and died on the cross? Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. And that's what we need to think about as we gather the elements or pass to you. I want you to focus on that, because we are ordained by God to do that. We're commanded to do that. And that's why we're here. And that's why we have the Lord's table. So, we're going to ask the men to come now and help us to distribute the elements.